playing during my sermon too. Now with all the music gone, it's going to be hard to focus on just my words and my voice, but I'll try my best. Good morning, Hope, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I'm so excited, and it is such a great privilege that I get to witness to God's word with you in this first Sunday of this new year. Usually in Korean tradition, Korean churches, they don't let the newbie pastor preach the first sermon of a new year. It's a great privilege, and I do not take it lightly. I will try my best to not ruin the whole year, but no promises. I let God work my words. We'll see how it goes. And so this morning, in light of our recent memories that we looked at in our Advent and Christmas season, we were reminded of the fulfillment of the gospel. I just want to say one more time, Emmanuel. God came to dwell with us, as was prophesied in the Old Testament. And so we'll go straight into the text that we have this morning with us. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to begin to read in verse 17. And so as the prophecy is fulfilled with the coming of Jesus, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Amen. This is God's kingdom. As we just read our passage this morning for this new year, it's about God's kingdom. You may hear this, or this at least this idea from me a lot today. The already, not yet. This phrase that many scholars use to describe is used to describe God's kingdom on earth. And as I was preparing for today's sermon, an illustration came to mind, which takes place in Korean history, actually. Now, I didn't have the opportunity to study a lot of Korean history growing up, because I grew up here in Canada. But that's why we have movies. And one of the movies portrayed a significant part of Korea's history during the Japanese occupation. And in the 1900s, the Japanese Empire at the time succeeded in taking control of the Korean Peninsula, which was back then what just one kingdom. It wasn't North Korea, South Korea, two countries. It was one kingdom, actually. We actually had a monarchy. And during this time, some of the main leaders of the independence movement of Korea set up a provisional, a temporary government in China. So they ran away, they set up a secret government where the main leaders got together. And so, in reality, the official capital of Korea was still in what we called Seoul, under the control of the Japanese Empire at the time. But one could say that the real capital of Korea, its kingdom, was centered where the leaders set up base. It was hidden, it was secret, but it was real and existed wherever those leaders were. And so I think this serves as a very good illustration of God's kingdom that was inaugurated, is the term we use. Inbreaking of God's kingdom by the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus announces at the beginning of his ministry on earth that we read today that the kingdom of God is near, is at hand. The prophecy that we looked at during Advent in Isaiah is fulfilled with Christ coming in the flesh to dwell with us. The king has come, and he lives with us. And so wherever the ruler is, wherever the true king is, that's where the kingdom is. Do you believe this? And for us, living in this biblical story, we are at the period of history where God dwells with us by his Holy Spirit. We are called the church, God's people, in two words, two key words that I want to highlight here. We are God's people representing his kingdom as a gathered people and also as a sent people representing his kingdom on earth. And so going back to our Matthew text this morning, do you see what Jesus starts with as he makes this proclamation of God's kingdom coming on earth? He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. And that's what he starts with. Repentance. And so, as I was preparing for the sermon, I had to stop and ask myself at this point, why does Jesus start with repentance, a call to repentance? What's the actual meaning of repentance anyways? And as always, I like to go back to the original languages and to see what that nuance holds. And the Greek word for repenting, the verb, is metanoeo. Metanoeo. This is the verb meaning, actually, to change one's mind or purpose. We could even say that it is to change one's will. When I was growing up, when I heard the word repentance, all I could think about was the idea of forgiveness, asking God for forgiveness, which is correct in some way. But it is also to change one's mind. And in our biblical sense, that word repentance holds so much weight because it is to change one's mind to conform to God's will, God's kingdom. And I feel like I've quoted Romans 12 every single sermon that I've done here at Hope. But I do feel like it should be quoted here. Because in Romans 12:4, it says that, Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Repentance. And also notice, this call to repentance here, according to Paul, is both active and passive. It is a call to actively participate in God's kingdom life on earth by repenting, meaning by renewing our minds and conforming to God's will, not our own. So active participation. It is also passive in the sense that it is Jesus himself, God himself calling his people. He's not just any teacher or prophet, but he is Lord. And this Lord calls us and renews us by his grace and love. Be transformed, Paul says. The good news here about God's exhortation for us is that we are never left on our own. And I shudder to even think what God's kingdom on earth would look like if we were left on our own, to try and reflect his kingdom by our own wills and our own powers. But God, by his Holy Spirit, says that he renews us and he equips us to live his kingdom on earth. It is his kingdom and it is his ministry that we participate in. And so witness today how Jesus himself, who initiates the calling for discipleship, and notice his posture of humility. He doesn't just sit on a throne and just demands that his people come to him. Jesus, in his humility and servant leadership, actually goes out and calls his disciples himself. And so it is significant that Jesus, being the rightful king and Lord over all creation, doesn't just distance himself from us and just waits for us to come to him, but he actually comes to us. He initiates the calling for discipleship. In the Gospel of John, we read how Jesus says to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And also, it's not on the screen, but remember what he says here. The point is that you can do nothing apart from me. Abide in me, because you can't do anything without Jesus. Also in 1 John, one of my favorite verses, we love our active participation in God's kingdom. We love others. We love one another. But it is only because he, God, first loved us, our passive reception of God's grace. In Matthew's text that we looked at, in verse 18, it says that Jesus, as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he is the one, like I said, who initiates the call to discipleship. He says to Peter and John, "Come, follow me." And you see, in the rabbinic culture of Jesus' day, so a little bit of history here, it was common for the rabbis, so the teachers, to have many disciples. That was a very common thing. It wasn't only Jesus that had a big following. But the difference was that usually it was common for the disciples, the potential students, to go out and seek potential or prominent, famous teachers, rabbis, to ask them, "Can I be your student? May I follow you? Can you be my teacher, my Lord?" But here with Jesus, it is significant that it isn't the disciples who go out and find Jesus. Jesus goes out and finds them. In other words, no one comes to the Lord by their own initiative. The Lord comes to them first. And I believe this is our calling as well. God calls us to be his disciples. This is our kingdom people identity. And if you're new to the church, I hope you can see this discipleship identity that's reflected here among ourselves and our church. We reflected in 2022 of all the blessings that God has blessed us with to be a blessing for the community. An impactful sermon series that I remember from a couple years now. I can say a couple of years now because it's 2023. One of the sermon series that we did was called Apprenticing with Jesus. I don't know if anyone else can remember this. It was very impactful for me. We reflected on our call to discipleship, which is not just a simple teacher-student relationship. To focus on this calling just a little bit more, remember that a call to discipleship means doing our best to fully imitate, to follow and to fully mirror, and we even said, I remember this imagery, to follow in the dust of, because we're following so close to our teacher. And a good quote that expresses this idea comes from a commentator named Dale Bruner. He says, "Students lived with their rabbis. They did not merely hear their lectures. Discipleship was a study in residence. Homeschooling, you can say. It was a live-in arrangement with a teacher." Live-in relationship. Anyone else see Emmanuel here? God with us? God dwelling with us? Our Lord Jesus, who calls us to discipleship, forming a relationship and living with us. Being a disciple, being Christ followers, being a Christian. That's why we're called Christian, yeah. And so let's take a step back and go back to the beginning verse again. Remember, Jesus proclaims the beginning of God's kingdom with a call to repentance, changing one's mind to conform to God's will, not our own sinful, broken wills. God's will. And this proclamation, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. Many other translations, actually, translate this part as, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is here. This signifies that God's kingdom, through the coming of the incarnate deity in Jesus Christ our Lord, this kingdom is at hand. It is both here, right now, and shall come when Jesus comes back again. That's why we say the phrase, already, but not yet. And if you're new to our church, this might be a little bit unfamiliar to you, but here at our church, we see this story of the Bible eras a lot. I made it better. It looks prettier than Dave's, I have to say. I believe the pointer, yes. And so, won't go through the whole story, but here in the period of the church, where some people like to call it a period of ingathering, where we're sent to gather God's people, to know the gospel of Jesus and God's kingdom. And here at the end is the full restoration. That's the not yet part. And for us, redemption has begun because Jesus has already come at Christmas, we reflected on. And in our biblical story that we're living in, equipped by the Holy Spirit, we are living in a time of the church where we're trying to reflect this last arrow, the full restoration, but here and now. We are to live as Jesus' disciples in a broken world, reflecting that not yet kingdom to the already here and now. And Daryl Johnson, a former professor at Regent, he wrote a book on the Lord's Prayer, actually. And this is something that our young adults have something to look forward to. I'm planning to be a book study on this one. And he says specifically when it comes to the part, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he says that when we pray this part of the prayer, we're asking for something extraordinary. He says it well, that when Jesus says this, and when Jesus says that the kingdom of God is at hand, already here, it is not just the idea of a partial fulfillment now, and then a full fulfillment when he comes back. The idea actually should be thought of as, it's fully here, but it's hidden, and it's veiled. And our job, and our prayer, and our desire as a church, and as individual Christians, as disciples, is to reveal more and more of that hidden kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so this part of the Lord's Prayer, Dr. Johnson says, can sound like this. Living God, even before the day of the Lord, reveal what is invisible, manifest what is hidden. And so we stop, take a breath, and we think about how we can practically apply this to our lives here and now. What does kingdom on earth look like? Has any human being ever lived this kingdom on earth that we know of? Do we have a perfect example that we can follow? And what's the Sunday school answer? It's always Jesus. You say anything, you ask anything, you just say Jesus, and it's probably the right answer. Verse 23, today, in Matthew 4, says that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So teaching, preaching, and healing. Now, there can be multiple interpretations of this, but one of the interpretations that I had, if I may suggest, you don't have to agree, but if we can think of the teaching and preaching part as internal ministries of the church, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. I know it's not confined to a building, but just think, if those are referring to internal ministries, preaching and teaching about God's kingdom, the healing part speaks into our sent identity to be a blessing for the world. Jesus' ministry of healing is the beginning of the revealing process of Revelation 21, that last arrow at the end, where God fully restores creation, where there are no more tears, no more death, no more mourning or pain. This is God's dwelling place. And we looked at during Advent, God starts with dwelling with us. God dwells with us as he came in the form of Jesus, and he will dwell with us again. This is his kingdom already, but also not yet. A famous missiologist by the name of Leslie Newbegin, he says this about kingdom living. Meaningful action in history is possible only when there is some vision of a future goal. I'll read that again. Meaningful action in history, the here and now, is only possible when there is some vision of a future goal. And we have a future goal hope. Our future goal is the full restoration, the hope that we have only in Jesus our Lord. And so as we enter this new year, we are encouraged by God's word this morning. And that as Christians, we are called to participate in making visible that hidden and invisible kingdom of God. both as disciples, meaning individual Christians, in our ordinary lives, and also as the body of Christ, the distinct community that lives counterculturally to the patterns of this world. So a few practical things as we wrap up this morning. Few practical things that I would highlight for us as a church and as individuals as we live the kingdom life in this new year as well. As a church, we are called to be a community of patience and steadfastness in a world of instant gratification and short attention spans. These are not my words. I'm sorry I don't have it up there. But in a world where everything is just so fast, that if you don't know anything, you're in trouble. But if you don't know something, all you need to do is pull out your phones and Google it. And when it comes to something as serious as our identity in Christ, kingdom living, you can't just Google it. Google will not answer it for you. It's not an instant fix where you do this, Pastor Dave, Pastor Sid, or Pastor Johnson just says, okay, from the Bible, it says this, let's just try this week. If we succeed, then that's God's kingdom. We don't have to do anything more. Instantly, it's a fix. We are broken. We are sinners. And God says that he will use us and renew us. But this is a lifetime process. Who can say, no matter how old you are, oh, I'm done now. I'm perfect. I am living my kingdom life to the full potential. We need patience and steadfastness, and we need to rely on God who guides us as we live the kingdom life. And we also, I think, need to be a community that submits to the authority of God in a world of individual autonomy. I like that one. In our postmodern, we like to say, in the postmodern age, everyone's opinion is right. If everyone's opinion is right and opinions are conflicting, who's right then? Where do we hold authority? Where do we have our reliance, our foundation? I would suggest that it is God's word. His word given to us as a gift still holds authority for us. We also should be a community that reflects God's love by building one another up through scripture, through prayer, through healthy spiritual practices like daily devotions, not tearing one another apart, not trying to compete with one another just to climb that corporal ladder. And as individual Christians, as disciples for kingdom living, in our homes, with our friends, our neighbors, and our families, in our workplaces where we spend so much of our energy and time, in our ordinary lives, through word and deed, we reflect God's kingdom. And in one commentary, the commentator summarizes this discipleship, kingdom living well. It's a longer quote, but I think it's worth reading. Whatever our profession, whether preacher or plumber, teacher or technician, hotel maid or hospital orderly, discipleship means that we place as the priority of our lives joining with Jesus in reaching our daily world with the good news of life in the kingdom of heaven. That's a mouthful. But whatever your profession, wherever you are, and being a house parent is a profession, we reach our daily world with the good news of life in the kingdom of heaven. No pastor, as an example, no pastor can enter into the complex world of corporate finance as effectively as a committed and knowledgeable Christian business person. That was powerful for me. I have no knowledge when it comes to money. Do not talk about numbers with me. It scares me. But that's why we are all equipped together to represent God's kingdom on earth. No pastor can enter into that field effectively. We have a privileged place of ministry that is unique to following Jesus in our daily lives. And that's why I love doing the All of Life. I do. the church, when we do the All of Life interviews, that's a reflection of the ministries that we all have in our daily lives. And so take encouragement, hope. May this new year be a continuation or maybe perhaps the beginning of our kingdom lives. May we as a church be a kingdom community that is blessed to be a blessing, that we keep saying. Remember that we are not alone in revealing this kingdom. It is God's Holy Spirit who dwells with us, who equips us, who guides us for this kingdom living. It is His kingdom. It is His ministry that we humbly participate in. And that is my prayer and my blessing for everyone here, for us, as we enter this new year. Let's pray. Father God, we lift up and we want to glorify You in this new year. Lord, as we reflected back in our last year's ministries, all we can say is thank You. Thank You for leading us. Thank You for being with us. Thank You for blessing us and blessing our world. Thank You for choosing us to be Your sent people, to be disciples in a world that does not know You, that does not acknowledge You. Lord, help us to fight this good fight, to live against the patterns of this world, to live in representation of Your kingdom, the freedom and the love that we have as Your children, as Your people. We pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our song response. Your labor is not in vain.
Your labor is not in vain. Your
so hope, as a sent people, blessed to be a blessing, receive this blessing from our God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And all people said,